I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and we're hitting the road with a whole crew.
I'm the most unbiased person on this panel.
So get ready for some special guests. At what point did you know?
Yeah, night before.
All the breaking news.
There's a growing confidence that Joel Embiid will be back.
And of course, unforgettable moments. Is that my watch?
No! I guess that says it all!
Join us for NBA Today weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN.
Welcome back. Hey, we wanted to give you a little eye candy. One of the greatest moments in TV history. Here it is.
Okay, right to left.
Come here, LeBron.
Go get him.
No, Chris Bosh, don't.
What a
no.
Go get him. Okay. And looking good, I'm telling you.
Look at the white. Look at the white. Look at the white.
Yeah, look at the white. Monica, I wanted to get you in on this. What do you think? Does he make it look easy?
This is impressive. He does make it look easy. I'd also like to say that in my second day doing television with Pat Beverly, he has apologized, he has given an actual selection, and we're doing his highlights, so it's just fantastic. Like, I'm enjoying Pat on TV.
I appreciate that. You know, those are very kind words, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. He's had 14 like dunks in his professional career. He's had 14 dunks in his professional career.
Woo.
Is this the best one?
Yeah, I have to put that one up as the best. But look, hey, BC, check it out. I had six in the playoffs, so it tells you I elevate my. Oh, okay. I trust my.
Oh, yeah, oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he that means when the heat rises, you bring the hops out.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Trust my offseason work. Trust my offseason work.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's the
go.
Game plan for all of these playoff teams. Welcome back to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith and Vergrini. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase as well. You see the team with us, and we get right to the big game, as it is game of the night, Celtics Heat. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Bucket ready. Marcus Smart, Al Horford both out. Jason Tatum would step up. Second quarter, Celtics up 8. Tatum hits the tough shot over Butler. Celtics up 10. Smart cheering him on. Under 2 minutes to go in the half. Tatum handling, looking. Tough three. Good. 21 points in the first half. Celtics up 8 at halftime. Third quarter, Heat down 6. Bam Adebayo going to work. Finishing with the and one. Falling on Williams there. He was okay. Heat down 3 at that point. Gabe Vincent here misses the 3, but Butler with the putback. Heat take a 64-63 lead, their first lead since the first quarter. Later in the third, Heat up 6. Tatum stripped by Max Strus. Strus in for the slam. Ime Udoka didn't like that tangling up with Butler and Grant Williams, and he wouldn't like this either. Tatum having it stolen by Butler. The hezzy on Jaylen Brown and the score. Then, Tatum coming back, setting up the play, everybody getting in position. Watch Butler, keep your eye on him. Quick hands, got it again. Steals it, in transition with the dunk. Heat opened the third quarter on a 22-2 run. They outscored the Celtics 39-14 in the quarter. Fourth quarter, Celtics down 13. Butler blocks Tatum. The key rejection, perfect timing. Butler fired up after that one. Under 3 minutes to go, Heat up 10. Butler with Tatum all over him. The contested jumper, good. 41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Heat win 118-107, take the 1-0 series lead. And Jimmy Buckets, post-game, talked about he is on it right now.
More than anything, it just shows us what we're capable of whenever we worry about getting stops, getting into the open floor, getting to the free throw line, all of those good things. It just reminds me that we can do it. I see it on this piece of paper. I lived it, so I expect us to be able to do that every quarter from here on out.
Got out tough, out physical. They looked like they came out in the second half, you know, and wanted to up their physicality and aggression and on both ends, and they did that.
Out-muscled, out-physical. Miami dominated the season the third quarter, outscoring them by 25 points. That's the Celtics' second worst point differential in a playoff quarter since the shot clock era began in 1954. And Jimmy Butler's 17 points in the third quarter were more than the Celtics had as a team. Ouch. And guys, I can't say enough about this third quarter as I bring back in Vince Carter, Monica McNutt, and Pat Beverly. Look. At the end of the half, it looked like the Celtics had this game in hand. It looked like they were going to take it. And then the Heat came out on another level. Vince Carter, I look more to the Celtics on this one. What happened to turn this game in the third quarter?
Well, I'm going to mention a name, Pat Bev, that you're going to recognize and you're going to appreciate. So I was once told by a great defender by the name of Tony Allen, he says, offensively, when you're guarding somebody and they're just able to, what they practice in the gym, they can just dribble around, they practice move with nobody guard up into them, taking away their airspace. That's the comfort move. Well, in the second half, we saw Miami Heat step their defensive pressure up. Now they're into Jason Tatum. He's not dribbling. He's having to turn his back to start the offense. There was a difference. So he wasn't able to get into his pet move or anything for that matter because of that pressure being up under him, a la what Pat Beverly does when he gets into a player and he wants to kind of disrupt the offense. That's what the defense of the Miami Heat did in the second half.
Yeah, for sure. And I totally agree with you that in that standpoint. And I just point back to Marcus Smart being there. If Marcus Smart is there, he's initiating the offense. He's bringing the ball up. Maybe Jason Tatum doesn't have to start. Maybe Jason Tatum doesn't have to go guys getting up under him. Maybe he can just post mid-post, get it without a dribble, you know, kind of face up and kind of do his move from there. Health is a real thing.
Inside the three-point line.
Yeah, right. Inside the three-point line.
Yeah.
Health is a real thing. The healthiest team always wins.
Yeah, and Monica, you were at the game last night. You were behind the bench. What concerns did you have about Jason Tatum in the second half? Because he was a totally different player.
Well, it's funny because yesterday, Pat, you talked about the best version of Tatum, right? And that would be the version that is decisive. In the second half, to Vince's point, as the defensive intensity ratcheted up, he did look a little bit indecisive. And so then you started to see a little bit of fatigue. Temperatures are rising amongst the Celtics bench as competitors that want to perform better than they were performing in that third quarter. The stats on Jason Tatum say that he has not lost in consecutive ball games since January. And so if Smart is not available in game two, although I believe the Celtics are hopeful that he will be, I do think he still will respond by some of that decisive energy. And maybe Jaylen Brown shares more of some of that point guard responsibility to help take some of the pressure off of Jason Tatum. But this, as much as Smart's absence was a part of it, I also think Horford's absence was a part of the ability of the Heat to collapse and pay so much more attention to Jason Tatum.
So are you saying I'm right?
Bro, hold on now.
There you go.
I didn't say you were wrong.
I've been getting in trouble the last couple days. I don't want no trouble with you. I just asked one question. So you saying I'm right?
Listen. I did not say you were wrong, but yesterday you just
gave me a vague, decisive. So if you're not going left,
listen,
that means you're going right.
I've enjoyed doing TV
straight
with you. You gave me a brand new profile, you know what I'm saying, memeable moments. I'm enjoying TV with you. You know, you're doing your thing. I'm enjoying it. You was right, Pat.
Cool. I can take that.
I got to get back to this game, though, because, Pat Bev, I looked at this game, and it's as if I saw a different Celtics in the second half. And I know a lot of it had to do with what Miami did, but as you saw it, what did Miami do to keep them, to take them out of their game, to take them out of that smoothness they had all that first half?
Coach Spo. Coach Spo. Yeah. Detailed, again, I mentioned it yesterday, detailed, disciplined man who requires nothing but greatness from his players. And, you know, I don't know what was said at halftime, but they came out the third quarter, they responded. But not even that. I think it was mental breakdowns from the Celtics, too, in that third quarter. I think they're in a bonus from the 5-4 minute mark in the third quarter. I think they shot 8 to 10 free throws, maybe the last 6 minutes of that third quarter. So, you know, you can't – it's no defense for free throws. You can't get your defense set. You can't run out and transition off free throws. So, little mental breakdowns there. But Boston will be better. And, again, health is a real thing. Health is a real thing.
And, Vince, the other thing that stood out to me, Jason Tatum with those 6 turnovers, it was clear that he was initiating the offense. It was clear they relied on him for that. But at some point I started thinking – should they maybe switch him off? Should they try something different? What did you make of the adjustments you saw when things started to collapse in that third period?
And I think that's something Boston will do, is to make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like Pat Bev said, Smart is extremely important because he can initiate the offense. Sometimes, why about starting White let him start or initiate the offense. Pritchard, or bring Jason Tatum off the ball, wide pin so he can get the ball with a live dribble. Now he can get into or scan the defense to see what's there. But when you're coming up with a live dribble, you're looking, you have a guy pressuring you. Now you have guys on the weak side closing in, taking away passing lanes. It's tough as a scorer because you do need him to score, but you want him to facilitate. So sometimes I'm telling, let him catch the ball with a live dribble sometimes. So you will see Coach Udoka make adjustments.
You've seen that, but also when you watch the game, even when Derrick White played, and I keep saying the guy's name, Petrick, am I saying it right?
Hey, Pritchard?
Pritchard.
Pritchard. I'm Pritchard. Sorry. I called the man a whole different name. I apologize, brother. But you've seen it. They got guys at the nail. Jason Tatum got the ball. It's a guy right at the nail. Throw it to Derrick White. Mm-hmm. Right. Can you make shots? Can you beat us? You know, throw it to the other guy. Can you make shots? Can you beat us? Okay, not even only that, but Pritchard on the other end, you have to move those feet. You got to move those bunnies, man. In the fourth quarter, and we all know the playoffs is all about matchups, and they attack them, they attack them.
And try
them,
to deny your – deny. Push them out. Push them out farther.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just – the huge ahead, thing –
the huge thing, though, y'all, you talk about Miami being able to get set, is that the Celtics, the turnovers, like, I don't want to oversimplify, but you turn the ball over, Miami scores easily, and they get back, and they are completely waiting, whether it's at the nail or hunting the matchup. Like, they had the opportunity to set up for Jason Tatum more times than not in that second half.
Yeah, agree.
So what do they need to do? Let's say Marcus Smart isn't back. What do they need to do to not have this kind of thing happen in game two?
I don't think it's something that they can change. I mean, they're a different team without those two guys. They're a whole different team. I think the team is a different makeup if Marcus Smart is not playing. I think the team takes the makeup of maybe a Jaylen Brown and maybe a Jason Tatum, and that's – you're talking about two different animals, you know. And I'm not talking about, you know, a lesser dog. I'm just saying Marcus Smart is the defensive player of the year. Yeah. And he brings an impact to a team that no one else does. So
personality.
Not having him, not having Al Horford is, you know, is a very big deal.
And we'll talk about whether Smart will be back. We'll come back to this. Don't worry, Vince. We'll come back to this a lot more. We got a lot more to talk about in terms of Celtics, the Heat side, Jimmy Butler as well, the night he had. A lot more to cover there. But first, I want to get to this game in hockey, the thriller of the night, Blues Avalanche, second round Stanley Cup playoffs, game one. They're getting ready, and guess who's there? Their new QB1, Russell Wilson, Denver Bronco, in attendance. Under 4 minutes to go in the third. Avs up 2-1, 15 seconds left on the power play. Jordan Kyrou, the toe drag around the defender in the goal. What a toe drag. Watch it again. He shoots 5-hole for the goal and nails it, his fourth goal of the playoffs. Blues tie it up late at 2, so we go to overtime. Few chances stopped by the Avalanche. And then halfway through the first overtime, Josh Mason's going to get the puck. Manson going to wait for an opening. Manson looking, shoots it through everybody and scores. That's game. He picks his spot, and he shoots it perfect through everybody. Josh Manson playing the hero with his first goal of the playoffs. Avs win game one in OT, 3-2. Coming up, Luka burn the Suns. Can now he take down Steph and the Warriors? We'll talk about that. Should Golden State be on upset alert? Predictions straight ahead. Plus, much more on the Celtics meltdown in Miami. When will they get Marcus Smart and Al Horford back in the lineup? Brian Windhorst is going to have the very latest from Miami as Get Up continues. We'll be back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back, and check this out. You know the bag. Tiger Woods live pictures from Southern Hills Golf Course, the PGA Championship in Tulsa, Oklahoma, taking in a practice round. You see him swinging. He's out practicing right now this morning ahead of the PGA Championship, which starts on Thursday. He's going to be paired in a group featuring Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth in the first two rounds. They're going to tee off 9/11 tomorrow morning. We expect to carry it right here on Get Up. Also going to be on ESPN Plus, but Tiger Woods getting ready. Says he can compete, says he is ready. There's going to be some weather issues this weekend, some wind, strong winds, as Curtis Strange was telling us earlier, but Tiger Woods looking good as he's taking in some practice shots right there ahead of the PGA Championship. Well, the Western Conference Finals get started tonight in Golden State. The Warriors, the Mavericks, they're going to meet in the playoffs for the second time, the other time being in 2007 when the eighth-seeded Warriors beat the top-seeded Mavericks. And for this season, Dallas won 3 of 4 against Golden State, so keep that in mind. Now this year, Luka became the third player all-time to average 30 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists through his first 10 games of the postseason, joining Giannis and Oscar Robertson. And Steph Curry, let's not forget about him, he became the fourth player in NBA history to average 25 points in each of his first 2 series of a postseason at age 34 or older, joining LeBron, MJ, and Kareem. You like that company? Not bad, right? And check out the odds. Curry and the Warriors are -220 series favorites against the Mavericks. They're also 5-point favorites in game 1. According to Caesars Sportsbook, Golden State has yet to drop a game at home this postseason, standing a perfect 6-0. Let's welcome back in Vince Carter, Monica McNutt, and Patrick Beverly. All right, so the big question, everybody's talking about Luka. It's all about Luka. Monica McNutt, how do the Warriors slow down Luka Doncic, if it's even possible?
So the defensive schemes in this series, I'm thinking a lot about them, especially on the Mavs end as well. All right, if you're slowing Luka, I wonder if you trap a little bit and get the ball out of his hands some, and so you force him into being a pure facilitator, and then you rotate on the rest of those guys, because I don't know that you've seen consistently enough offensive production from his supporting cast. Now, if Dorian Finney-Smith, Kleber, whoever is getting hot, then you make adjustments accordingly, but I just wonder if the Warriors will look to get the ball out of his hands.
You said if who gets hot?
Kleber.
Who?
Kleber.
If Dorian Finney-Smith.
Y'all go with that, man.
Maxi Kleber. Some of the other role players.
The shooters.
Y'all stop.
The shooters.
You don't agree?
As a coach, if I'm coach of the team, I'm putting, and you probably go see it, Kleber has to beat me. He has
really?
To beat me this. I mean,
so he's your X factor in this series.
He is my X factor. If he can squeeze, if his trigger is tight and he's hitting what he's shooting at, it's gonna be tough. But I haven't seen that yet. Unfortunately, I just haven't seen that yet. I'm a coach, Kleber has to beat me.
We saw it in one of the games in the Jazz series where he was lights out from three. But that, I'm asking you, though, as a defensive specialist, to me, if you trap and bother Luka, then you're right. You have to make the role players for the Mavs beat you, which I don't know that we've seen consistently enough without Luka being able to put up big numbers in addition to that. So would you trap Luka, or you just throwing bodies at him? I'm curious.
So what we're talking about is two different things. You're talking about trapping the ball. I'm talking about Kleber's in a corner, Draymond's the help man. Luka penetrates Draymond's right there. Like, I'm not trapping.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trapping.
That leads,
got it.
Right. You
got
know,
it.
That leads to, you know, swings off the catch. No, I'm Draymond Green.
Got
I'm guarding Kleber. Come here, Doncic. You can see me. Pass it to Kleber. You got to make 6-7 threes.
And you're making the point that he's bigger than Brunson or Dinwiddie or those guys because Draymond would be on him.
On Kleber.
So he'll be open. Vince, what do you think?
Okay.
No, I mean, I like the idea. I like the idea. I think you guys are saying the same thing. You're just saying, Pat, you don't want to trap him. I like the point of picking him up full court sometimes, turning him a couple of times, getting deep into the clock, because sometimes when you do that, it gets down. Luka feels like, hey, I have to go one-on-one because it's not a lot of time. Then if you put bodies, I like to see guys in gaps, hands wide. That's when he struggled as far as making right reads and turning the ball over sometimes as well.
So I'm right again, Monica? Oh. Man, I've been on the road.
He loves to be right.
And now I can't give you too many.
I mean, but at the same time, the Dallas adjustment from that, you take Kleber out, who you put in? You put in Bertans, right?
Right.
Okay, now Golden State eyes light up now. You understand? Now on the other end.
Because of his defense.
End,
okay.
The Golden State eyes light up. So right. Now you have to, you have to play basketball as a player, IQ, and as a coach also. So, Golden State, I think they like the matchup they have.
Yeah. Go ahead, Monica.
Can we flip this question though, Ryan, Pat, and VC? Because I think, like, in an If the Mavs are going to have the best opportunity, you look at guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock, who could be considered sort of 3-and-D guys in terms of their willingness to defend the ball, right? Like, how do the Mavs defend the Warriors then becomes my question, because it's not as simple as putting somebody on Steph, because Draymond or somebody else will just bring the ball up.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think no one player or team can defend the Golden State Warriors. I think they've had the most open shots in the NBA postseason. They just haven't made a lot of them. Now, if you give the Golden State Warriors a ton of open threes and they're just not making a lot of them and they're still winning, you in a world of hurt.
Wow, that's a tough situation. Vince, go ahead. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, my question from the beginning is, who guards who? Because Steve Kerr, who is very good coach and high basketball IQ, just like we said on the other end, like Pat Bev said, you're going to go at the weak defender. You're going to pick out the mismatch. And one thing Pat has said the last couple of days is what? Luka's going to have to guard somebody. So where is his weakness? On ball, okay, but running him off of screens, making him guard, making somebody help. Now, Looney becomes an even bigger factor because he's going to be the guy setting those screens sometimes getting easy layups. So not only are you getting open threes, you're going to start getting easy layups. Now, if you're putting someone like Luka, making him chase and have to guard as well.
No, I think they go put Luka. I think how they go match up. I think they go put Luka on Draymond. But even if they do that, I think the Golden State eyes light up even more now. You know, because now it's Draymond Green here, Steph Curry. He coming off the curl screen. Yeah. Okay, I don't have you here.
Dribble handoffs. Okay. I agree with that.
Klay Thompson back door.
Yeah,
you
dribble
know?
Handoff.
So,
yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, either way you look at it, however you move the pieces around, it's gonna be a tough tier. It's gonna be good games, but it's gonna be tough. Yep.
On the other side with the Warriors, though, it's gonna. Actually, you know what I want to do before we get to this more. I want to go for your series predictions because you guys are describing how difficult the series is going to be. And I just want to make sure we get this in. So before this West Series starts, let's pick it. Who wins and in how many games? Vince.
Well, let's just be clear. I feel like both teams can win on the road. Start there. Okay? I do believe Dallas can run on the road. Now, I'm going to pick the Warriors in seven because I think they have the pedigree. They understand how the moment, and they have enough to win in seven.
Okay, so you have the Warriors in seven. Monica, who do you have?
I need to watch game one first, a la Pat Beverly yesterday.
Ooh, that's a shot at Pat Bev.
People take shots at me all the time.
I actually think it's going to be Warriors in six. I do like the energy that Jason Kidd has this Mavs squad playing with, but I'm as we just discussed, I'm not sure if the Mavs have enough on either side of the floor. I got Warriors in six.
What do you got?
I like the Warriors.
How many?
I don't know how many games.
I really don't.
I just think the series. This
Give
is going to be.
What you think.
This is going to be one of the best series you've seen of basketball. Honestly, every game is going to be good.
You
might have maybe a blowout game here, maybe one blowout game, but for the most part, you're talking about electric offensive like powerhouses attacking each other every night. I love.
So
it.
If I was to give you $50 million, if you would pick the number, how much money do I have to give this man to make a pick of games?
ESPN about to give me.
Give him $100 million. Give him $100 million.
What about
$100 million? Wait, I got one, Pat. Is this series gonna be better than the East series? Which series you think is gonna be better, the West or the East?
It depends on which. It depends on what you're looking for as a player. If you like defense, East.
I can't
if you
even
like
go.
Offense, West.
I can't even go there.
That's the truth.
I'm making my pick. It's Warriors in seven.
All right.
The reason when you say that Luka is going to get his, I think Luka will average 35 a game or whatever in this series, and they can still not have enough firepower as the Warriors do. I do not know how you beat that offensively and defensively.
I hear Jason Kidd talking about us right now.
Oh, yeah. No, use it as inspiration. Coming up, a tale of two halves for Boston's biggest star. What happened to Jason Tatum in the third quarter of last night? We're going to ask Jalen Rose. That's next on Get Up.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back with you on Get Up, and look who's at it. At Southern Hills Golf Course in Augusta, ahead of the PGA Championship, Tiger Woods taking some practice swings. This is a live look at him. Getting ready, says he's ready to compete. He's going to be paired with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. Tomorrow, first round of the PGA Championship. He's teeing off at 9:11 a.m. We'll have it right here, we expect, on Get Up. It will also be on ESPN+. Let's take you back to basketball. Game of the night, Celtics, Heat, Game 1, Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Butler had himself a night. Al Horford, Marcus Smart, both out for the Celtics. Heat down one in the third. Gabe Vincent misses a three. Butler there with the putback. Heat take a 64-63 lead, their first since the first quarter. 6 minutes to go in the third. Butler with the steal. Hesitation. Get it in over Jaylen Brown. And then coming back, Jason Tatum bringing it down the floor, getting set up in the play, checking out, keep an eye on Butler, because he's got the quick hands with the steal again. The finish, the dunk. Heat open up the third quarter on a 22-2 run. They're up big in the fourth by 13 at this point, and Tatum blocked by Butler. Perfect timing, perfect rejection. Fired up with PJ Tucker there. 3 minutes to go, Heat up 10. Butler has it with Tatum on him. The contested jumper, good. Finishes with 41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Heat take the win and the 1-0 series lead in Miami. What happened to the Celtics? Here's Tatum and Brown after the game.
Obviously, you know, I don't want to turn the damn ball over like that. But, you know, I guess throughout the course of a game, things happen and they go on runs. That's what it did.
We got to be even more disciplined. Obviously, we wasn't prepared to be without Al. And, you know, we definitely wasn't prepared to be without Al and Smart. So it's not an excuse. We got to be better.
Got to be better indeed. And now we're so much better because look who's with us. Jalen Rose in the house. Jalen Rose joining us with Pat Bev. Jalen. What's up, man? Look, let me ask you. What happened in the third quarter to swing this game for Miami, in your opinion?
I know for a fact that halftime, not only Udonis Haslam, the OG on the Miami Heat, who they're going to retire his number one day, but clearly Eric Spoelstra, they stressed playing with force. And that's exactly what they did. We're going to talk so much about offense, and we're going to talk so much about shooting. But for the Miami Heat, that's their identity, to play with toughness and to play with togetherness. And nobody embodies that more than Jimmy Butler. And the way he came out in the second half, not only defensively, but offensively, was the game changer. Bam has some incredible blocks in the second half. Like, when we look at Bam, it's easy to quantify his stats and say he's not scoring a lot. But he switches more than any player in the league. And he does a terrific job of getting down in the stance and making a play. And he and Jimmy were the catalyst defensively. And that's what turned the game around. I think they were on like a 20-2 run, something that was crazy, unheard of. In the first half, Jason Tatum had 21 points. He was having his way. Robert Williams III was 5-for-5 from the floor, was blocking shots, changing shots. That all stopped in the second half. And that's because the Miami Heat decided to play with force.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, Jimmy Butler, what I love about him, he always talks about defense, getting stops, because defense leads to offense. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What did you see?
I think they followed the game plan. As you see, Tatum likes to go left. I think they had some ISOs. Tatum wanted to go left. They stopped it. He had to settle for a 20-20. As he pulled step back three, Jaylen Brown likes to go right. He went. They tried to go right. He cut him off. They forced him to go left. The closeouts throughout the whole game from the Miami Heat was elite. They left it all on the court. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, protect home court.
You know, there was a point in this game where they were just getting in the paint, and they were just the Celtics getting in the paint, getting it done. And Jalen, you make a great point of how in the second half it just sort of changed, especially with Bam and that defense. Now, I want to talk about the Celtics, and I want to bring in Brian Windhorst, because there was some big misses here for the Celtics, who they didn't have. Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Brian Windhorst back with us. And Wendy, What's the latest on the status of Al Horford? Because the Celtics seem to be taken by surprise that he wasn't playing in game one.
Oh, they were. Al Horford was at shoot-around yesterday morning. The team didn't find out he was going to be unavailable until late in the afternoon. So a huge curveball ahead of the start of a major series like this. Now, Al Horford has been in health and safety protocols three times this season, once in the preseason, once in December, and now. Just because he's in the protocols doesn't necessarily mean that he is positive, but that was the indication yesterday. The Celtics have had multiple positives in their traveling party over the last week, so there has been some growing concern about this. Now, Al Horford could be out a minimum of 5 days, and if that happens, then he's looking at missing multiple games here, potentially three. There are other ways for him to test out, including how much viral load he has, whether he can get some negative tests. But the Celtics are bracing for him to be gone multiple games here.
Wow, this is sneaky huge news, because not only is it about Al Horford being out, but it's the fact that there's multiple positives in the Celtics traveling party, and how could that end up affecting the team? Another guy who had a huge effect on this team, not playing in game one, Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year. What about him? What's happening with him right now?
Yeah, well, so he has a midfoot sprain. These are obviously worrisome. He couldn't execute basketball activities. He couldn't execute basketball moves when he tried them because he's got some swelling and soreness in there. Now, the Celtics are hoping that treatment and rest over the next day and a half will enable him to return for game two. And he was certainly active and moving around on the bench, but it'll probably come down to how he feels tomorrow. He was the guy they probably missed more than Horford in this game. The guy who got the extra minutes, Peyton Pritchard, was attacked defensively by the Heat. So that's the guy they're hoping to really definitely get back for tomorrow's game.
Wow. Imagine what they would be like without these two guys. Jalen, what's your reaction hearing that?
I think it's really unfortunate for the Celtics. But the one thing about Al Horford that people got to understand is he's also not only a terrific defender and gave him quality offense and veteran leadership, he's a really good screener. In particular, screen and pop. No. And that opens up the floor for those driving lanes for Jaylen Brown and for Jason Tatum. So they missed him heavily. And up front, someone else who missed him yesterday was Grant Williams. He led him in scoring in game 7 against the Milwaukee Bucks, and he was confident he was making his shots. But without Al Horford standing by his side yesterday, he looked frustrated. He was on the floor a lot. He was in foul trouble. And so I think that affected his game a lot. So without Al Horford, it's going to be tough for the Celtics clearly to win this series.
And to add to that, you know, Jay Rose, good to see you, my boy. Good to see you on the other side. You have one of those good games. You know, I think they, you know, he was mic'd up and all that stuff. And you heard Jason Tatum tell him, you know, you're as good as your last game. You know, you had those good games. You got to stay even keel, man. You got to stay even keel because your team, you never know what might happen in the game of basketball. Obviously, they probably didn't know Al Horford wasn't playing to the day of. They probably didn't know Marcus Smart. So when you even keel, you're prepared for these moments. And, you know, I don't know if it's the hype or I wouldn't say fame, but the big moments in the playoffs, you all mic'd up, you feeling good, they calling you Grant Curry. You know, when they do all that, you got to come and back that up. And I just think they kind of fell short in that area.
Yeah, you saw that argument, by the way, right there that we were showing Ime Udoka and Williams getting into it. They said they kind of said it was all good later. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens as well in playoff basketball. It doesn't necessarily indicate anything in particular. But, Brian, I wonder how these Celtics now without Marcus Smart, they don't know if he's going to be back for game two. Al Horford situation, how are they looking and feeling about the rest of the Eastern Conference Finals?
They're obviously very disappointed in the way the second half played out, but in speaking to folks around the team, they're still confident that they got a chance to be a very good chance to win this series. They realize this was just game one, their third game in 5 days. The Heat are really hard when they have rest and preparation time. They're 6-0 this season when they have 3+ days rest, as was the case yesterday. So they believe they're going to get Smart back soon. They know they're going to get Horford back at some point in this series. I would not count on this to repeat. I think the Celtics are still very strong contenders to win this one.
Jalen, jump in.
One of those under-the-radar things is that the Miami Heat at this point in the season are starting an undrafted backcourt in Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. At halftime, they had 5 points. They had 23 in the second half. And Wendy's right about them searching out Pritchard to defensively put him into action. But he did make a couple of shots. But when those guys decided to produce in the second half, that also became a game changer. But let me just make sure I stress one thing. Jimmy Butler is a superstar in today's NBA. When he decided to leave the Sixers for whatever reasons, whether they paid Tobias Harris or whatever happened, there are a lot of people that felt like he should go join a team or team up with somebody. When he chose to go to Miami, that was head-scratching for a lot of people. He took his own path. He's led them to the finals. He's leading them again right now. So he and Eric Spoelstra, the time that they had discord in the huddle, it just reminded me of something. Jimmy Butler playing with the Heat and Eric Spoelstra have to allow themselves to be coached. When you watch that video of Grant Williams, and Pat Bev will tell you, Ime Udoka was trying to coach him, but he was talking back. See, that's the next level. When I was watching the Nets play, that's to me, that's what they were missing, is will KD always allow somebody to coach him because KD is just, you know, basketball greatness. But will Kyrie, in particular, allow somebody to coach him? And I'm learning, and I'm appreciating when I'm watching the Heat and I'm watching the Celtics, that the players are allowing themselves to be coached. So therefore, it gives them maximum opportunity to play at their best.
Oh, I love that. Is an excellent point. Because, yeah. It's I think the word on Jimmy Butler before he ended up in Miami was, this guy's going his own way. People, he doesn't always listen. Kind of rubs people the wrong way at different times. And the fact that you're saying that says a lot about Jimmy Butler and what is making this Miami Heat team so successful. What do you think?
For sure. If you, I mean, it's not even about, you know, a superstar or whatever. If you can coach the biggest, the mass of the team. When I mean mass, I mean the biggest personality of the team. If you can coach that, I mean you can coach anybody else on the roster. And Jalen, he hit it right on the head. Allowing himself to be coachable. You've seen the replay with Grant Williams. That's just stuff that not, it happens in the playoffs, but it's not supposed to happen. Your coach curses you out, you accept it, you say okay, no matter what, you go back at film, you get better. And I think that, you know, that turmoil that Jimmy and Coach Spo had in the middle of the season, I think it's a reason why they're here now together, for sure.
Wendy, though, I look at this Celtics team and that, yes, that moment stands out, but at the same time, they've come together in ways that a lot of people didn't expect, these Celtics. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Celtics have a lot of confidence. They've been arguably the best team in the NBA since January 1st. They were down repeatedly in the series to the Bucks. They were down 1-0, they were down 2-1, they were down 3-2 going on the road, and they always bounce back. Now, the health thing is a different challenge, but being around this team for the last few weeks and knowing what I know about their personalities, I do not think that they will take this as a setback. They will look at their first half yesterday, find what works, and prepare for tomorrow. I still am banking on this to be a very long series and for both teams to land punches on each other.
If so, I got a question for you, Wynn. If Marcus Smart and Al Horford don't play game one, obviously they didn't play game one, but game two and game three, do the Boston Celtics have a chance? That's my question to you.
I think they need Smart. I think they can withstand Horford
so
a little
a
bit
chance?
More because they've got depth. Absolutely, they have a chance. Absolutely. Well, I have a huge amount of respect for this Celtics team.
I got to leave it there because I got a lot more to get to, but that's – there you go. We'll have game two of the Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, here on ESPN in the app. It all begins with a special edition of NBA Countdown live from Miami, hosted by Greeny. And, oh, by the way, Luka, Steph, tonight – should the Warriors be on upset alert against the surging Mavericks? We're going to talk about it with Pat and Jalen coming up. But first, a little sneaky hembo time for our man Jalen Rose. Jimmy Buckets got 41 last night. Who has the most career 40-point games against the Celtics in the playoffs? I got confidence in Jalen. He's got it. I got confidence. All right, back for a little sneaky hembo time for Jalen. He's getting a drink. He's ready to answer. Jimmy Buckets got 41 last night. Who has the most career 40-point games against the Celtics in the playoffs? Jalen.
It has to be a great player that is in the same conference, clearly. So how about LeBron James?
LeBron James is wrong.
Jerry.
The logo.
Logo.
Jerry West. 10.
Oh,
you were
man.
Right. LeBron was third, though. Will Chamberlain has 5, LeBron 5, and Elgin Baylor with 4. So you were in the right ballpark.
You got me, Hembo.
Look at him. He's smiling the biggest grin he can right now. All right, let's play a little game of either or now. Talking about these NBA playoffs. Pat, I'm going to start with you. Who has the biggest impact, Luka or Steph?
When you say impact.
In the series.
I have to go with Luka, because if he doesn't have an impact, the Dallas Mavericks don't have a chance. Mm. And I feel like if Steph Curry, if he struggles to shoot a couple games, I feel like Warriors still can win. So, Luka.
Yeah, I feel like Luka could go for 35 a game and they could still end up losing. Got to see how he ends up playing out. Jaylen, game six, Clay or bad Clay for the series? Game six, Clay batter.
For the first answer, I'm going Luka too. For the second one, I'm going game six, Clay, because I believe the Warriors will win this series. And I think Clay's going to have a big part in that. The dribble penetration by Poole and Steph Curry and the playmaking of Draymond Green is going to get him a lot of open looks. I think he has a big series.
Good. I want to see game six, Clay. Okay, Jaylen, Dre or Luka as a trash talker? Who you got?
So this is a tough one for me because it's a preference of taste. Like, Luka's a friendly trash talker. And Draymond, Pat Bev, Gary Payton, they're evil, mean trash talkers. Like, Gary Payton to talk to you so nasty. It's like, hold on, man, we about to stop the game and fight. And so Draymond Green brings that to the table as well. I'll say Draymond is the answer to this one.
He put you in that group.
No, he has to.
Are you an evil, mean trash talker?
No, I speak the facts. You know, if you can't shoot, I'm gonna let you know. You cannot shoot. But I like his answer. This was difficult to answer too, because Luka has that, you know, that passive aggressive. You know, I score on you, then he'll look over. You can't guard me. You know, his voice be real different. But I gotta go with Draymond. Draymond can get up under his skin. Draymond can change the game with his voice, trash talking. So I gotta go.
Can I have that voice again?
Hey, you can't guard me.
How can you be mad at that? Okay, Jaylen, we've been talking about Luka all day. How do you slow him down? How do you stop him? In your mind, how do the Warriors slow down Luka?
You're not going to slow him down because his usage is up, and I believe he's become the most dominant perimeter player in the game. So what you're trying to do is just make him less efficient. That's really what it's going to be about. Those numbers that you see on the screen, he's going to have those numbers in this series. The difference is, are they going to be efficient? And if you're the Golden State Warriors, how do you play him? Are you going to now allow him to get in his bag, go one-on-one, and put up big numbers? Or are you going to double and triple and chase him all over the floor and give the opportunity for Finney Smith and Bullock and Jalen Brunson and Dinwiddie to have driving lanes and open shots? But nobody's slowing Luka down in the NBA at this point, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Ain't nobody really slowing them down. I think you have to make someone else on the team beat you. And if I'm a coach, I'm not. I'm Max Kleber. You have to beat me. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's no discredit to him.
And why?
Because we haven't seen it. We just haven't seen him. You know, we might have seen it once a series, but this is the champs, three-time champs, man. They go make sure you have to hit 6 to 7 threes every game, Kleber, to beat me. And I don't think he can do it consistently over and over and over and over again at a high level to win a game.
That's a tall task because Kleba, Draymond might normally be on him. Now he's switching over to Luka. So Kleba, they would ask him to deliver. Jaylen, what do you think?
I think Draymond is going to be the key to this series for this sole reason. In the first series, he had to go against the MVP and Joker, who clearly has high usage and is a terrific offensive weapon. Against the Memphis Grizzlies, he had to just go against some toughness up front. Jaren Jackson Jr., Clark, Adams, just athletic and guys throwing their bodies around. In this series, he don't have to deal with that. Kleber, Bertans, Powell, they don't create offense in the paint, and they're not high-volume scorers around the basket. So that's going to allow Draymond Green to be more of a help defender, not a primary defender. I think because of that, his effectiveness is going to be very high in this series as well.
And he's used to being in that position. Like, he likes being the guy who roams and I mean, and we talk about trash talk. Man, they go throw that ball to Kleber. Draymond Green go tell him, man, shoot the ball, you bum. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just letting you know that's what's going to happen. You know, that's what's going to happen every game. And he's not really going to guard. So, offensively, him pushing the transition, him rebounding, now all that goes up because his energy is not going to be wasted guard. Jalen made a great point.
So, for him, it's like challenge him. Make him beat you anyway other than Luka.
They done seen it all. They done James Harden. They done seen the one-on-one game. They done seen Kevin Durant, Westbrook. They done seen LeBron James by himself. They done seen LeBron James, Kyrie. I mean, they done seen all these, you know, 1-2 punches guys, and, you know, they seen this movie before.
Can't wait to see it. Jalen, great to see you. Pat Bev, hang out for just a little bit more. And Jaylen, by the way, big
good to see
night
you, brother.
Of
Thanks
hockey.
A lot. Have a good morning, my brothers.
Absolutely.
Love.
Take care. Big night of hockey on ESPN and the app. Our coverage begins 7 Eastern with a showdown in Carolina as the Rangers visit the Hurricanes in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference semifinal. That game is going to be followed by Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinal between the Oilers and the Flames. A great night of hockey. First Take, by the way, coming up next. Have we completely underestimated Jimmy Butler? Is Luka the best offensive player in the NBA? We're going to talk about that and more. First Take, Molly, Stephen A., and Chris Russo, and more. Coming up after us. Check out our featured events on ESPN Plus this week. The Ultimate Fighter, Vince's Places with Vince Carter. First round of the PGA Championship from Southern Hills begins tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. And the German Cup Final Saturday afternoon, kickoff at 2 Eastern from Berlin's Olympic Stadium. That's it for us. Have yourself a great day. First Take starts right now.